Okay, so as we continue over here, we'll have today and probably at least Sunday. I don't think we'll have Shir Monday, right? So today, right? This Monday is the legal home?
Yeah.
So I think I have like things. I have to check my calendar, but I think I have a whole bunch of things that I got to be at. So we'll have today and Sunday for sure in Hagelis Galen, and we'll see if we go beyond that. We'll see how much more there is to do. We'll go a little bit out of order over here, but... there are a few chashva in Yanin that I wanted to cover over here. In Sitvav, which we looked at briefly, I think. So in Sitvav, we paskin that you have to kasha the entire pot. Right? It says in Shulchan Aruch, Kli matlos, afa pi sheyesho mishum nishtamish for isur b'mekzaso, ne'esar kulo, mishum decham mekzaso cham kulo, even though when you only dip, let's say, the tip of the spoon into the soup or the tip of the ladle into the soup, It trafes up the whole ladle because cham etzasu cham kulo, according to some at least, yesh yom the cham etzasu cham kulo means not just that it conducts heat, but it conducts tam as well. Avalin yinachshero lo alu achshero yachshi yachshio kulo bein lergal bein liblin. But if you're going to kasher the kli, then you got to kasher the entire kli. You can't say, oh, if it became trafe with cham etzasu cham kulo, then it could be kasher with cham etzasu cham kulo. So as much of it went in, dipped into the trafe of soup, that's how much I'll dip into the boiling water when I do agal. No, you can't do that. You got to do agal in the entire kli. And says the Rama, v'dafkim nishtamish b'kulo. That's only if you were nishtamish b'kulo. Avum yaduash lo nishtamish rak nitzasu kabbalah kach polto. Well, Rama seems to be saying something very different. Rama says, no, if you actually only dipped the end of the ladle into the soup, then you could catch it that way. Kibolo, kachbolto. It's only that you can't rely on cham etzasu cham kulo, that if you trafed up the entire ladle, that you can kasher by just putting some of the ladle into the pot. So there is a discussion, a couple of things before we get into the gufo shel inyan. Actually, we'll start with that. Gufo shel inyan over here in Sivvav. The Mechaber writes this idea that he seems like he's saying that we're not going to say, we're never going to allow kashering on miktsaso. If it's, yeah, you're always going to have to kasher the entire plea. The Gros Sivkot Yitzayin points to a Gemara in Zvachan Tzadivav that you need to kasher the entire plea. So if I have a spoon that I stick into a tray for soup, the entire spoon only becomes usher because of cham etzasu cham kulo, but you have to do agala on the entire kli. And then the Rama tells us, no, that's only if. It's only if it was used in its entirety. But if it was used partially, you can kasher it the same way. If you look in the Shach, in Siv Katan Tazayin, he points out that the Rama should have said, v'yesh omrim dafka. Right? Meaning the Rama says, Vidavka im nishtamish b'kulo. Ki'ilu, he's qualifying what the Mechaber says. Ki'ilu, he's not arguing on the Mechaber. But come on, of course he's arguing on the Mechaber. Right? The Mechaber said very clearly, or seemed to say very clearly, that even when it became treif through cham etzasu cham kulo, you have to kasher it fully. And the Rama is saying, no, if it only became treif through cham etzasu cham kulo, it could be kashered through cham etzasu cham kulo. So that's what the Shach writes. It should say, v'yesh omrim dafka, because he's really arguing on the Mechaber. It is the derech of the Rama sometimes to do that. That when he argues on the Mechaber, but the Mechaber's lashon is ambiguous enough that he sort of pretends that he's just explaining the Mechaber, even though he's arguing. Meaning, if there's a way to touch up the Mechaber's lashon that's not really against the Rama, then I'm just adding a caveat. But I really like the Mechaber, even though he knows he's arguing on the Mechaber. That is not so surprising to see the Rama do something like that. This is a machlokas Rashba Ra'a. I mean, this machlokas Mechaber Rama is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'a, based on that Gemara in Tzvachim. The Gemara in Tzvachim Tzadivav says that if a kli is balea chatas, then you need to kasher the entire kli. But if it's boleya truma, then you only need to kasher the part that was boleya the truma, meaning the part that came in contact with the truma. So you have a kli that cooked chatas, but the chatas was only in, let's say, the bottom half of the kli. You need to kasher the whole thing, even the top half of the kli. But you have a kli that was boleya truma, then you only need to kasher the part that was boleya truma. So why? Why would there be a difference between chatas on the one hand and truma on the other hand? So that's machlokas Rashba and the Ra'a, and that's this machlokas that plays out over here. The Rashba writes that by Hetera Bala we allow for lesser kashrut. since it was only since it's hetera bala, truma is considered hetera bala because truma is mutter for kohanim wherever. It's not something that's an isser outside of the azara, so it's mutter for kohanim wherever. Even though a Yisrael is not allowed to have truma, that's enough for truma to be considered hetera bala. And therefore, when it comes to hetera bala, partial kashering is going to be good enough. But chatos is isura bala, and for isura bala, you need full kashering. Because chatos is asr for any non-kohen out, and even for any kohen outside of the azar.
Meaning, there is a heter to eat chatos.
Yes, but it's considered be'etzem isura bala elamai nishulchan kavah kazachu that you're allowed to have within one day, one night. You know, in the azara, you're allowed to have,
though,
and you're a kohen, you're allowed to have the chatos.
Doesn't the Gemara in Avodah Zarah assume that kachim is hetera bala?
Yeah, so maybe that's Kachem Kalim, does the Gemara say?
I don't remember.
I wonder if it might be different with Kachem Kalim and Kachem
Kalim. It's Chattas also.
It's Chattas? Yeah? I don't know, I think this Rashba is summarized over here in the Taz, no? He quotes this whole Machlokas Rashba in the Ra'ah. He says it very nicely. It's a long Taz, but it's a very easy Taz. Yeah, he goes through the whole thing. He goes through the Gemara. Yeah. Varash Mishra Sabai's Khasav. Oh no, it should be Kitar Sabai's first. First he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara makes that distinction between Truma and Chatas. So let me just say over the Ra'ah, and then we'll read inside. That the Ra'ah, which is the Ramah, writes that Truma is Shari Surim. So you only need to kasha some. But Chatas is a Chumra by Kachim. That Dafka by Kachim, we have an extra Chumra to Kachim. So when it comes to regular Surim, you'd follow the rules of Truma, and therefore you could do Agala on a partial Kli. Meaning when the Ramah says over here that you could do Agala on only the part of the Kli that actually came in contact with the Isser, that's because when we're talking about Shari Surim, we're talking about Stam Surim over here, it's going to be the same as Truma, because you don't have the Chumra of Kachim, meaning it's an extra Chumra by Kachim that you need to be Machshir the entire Kli. Right? That's the Ra'ah, that's the Shitas HaRamah. So that's what he writes over here. The Ra'ah Svirlei, he's distinguished when you need libun, it's going to be different. Okay, but that's still within the ra'ah. The tamachul was el tishach shal libun eino osa achlot to kamosha balua el shu mechala yisra shabatocho v'malab no makam balu luchud eino mechala rak makam libun luchud mash nesu b'shar kli nishar adayim mashayim v'ach shar gol shu osa achlot to mash balu. Meaning that's a little bit of a side point, that even within the ra'ah, this whole klal is only within hagala, because hagala draws out. So whatever went in comes out the same way. So when it comes to Shari Surim, whatever went into the Kli, by only touching part of the Kli, even though some time may have gone to the rest of the Kli, because the Cham Ktsas Cham Kulo, that time will be drawn out by the same type of Hagala, through Cham Ktsas Cham Kulo. But Libun doesn't do that. Libun doesn't draw anything out. So wherever you do Libun, it's going in and destroying the Tam in that spot. And wherever you don't do Libun, the Tam is going to remain. The Tam will not be destroyed wherever you don't do Libun. So the so that's why for Libun, you're always going to have to catch the whole thing. That you cannot bring a raya from the Gemara in Zvachim, that you need to kasha the entire kli when it's isura bala. Deloma atinan sham ella bibala heter kigon basar bichalav, probably means basar vichalav, right? Probably doesn't mean because if it's basar bichalav, then it's wrong. Mitaima, and the reason is kol shenechach tam habasar al yidei agol. So some mixes kli shabishal bo shuvin roy lachol shem isur basar bichalav achar kach. Meaning that the reason is that it's considered hetera bala and isra kalish is good enough. Just like we had the chiluk by not parnata hetera, that since it's an isra kalish, since it's such a tam kalish rather, it's not going to be enough to generate new isra. Tam kalish is enough to transfer isra that already exists, but it's not enough to create a chalos shem isra. So that's the shitas harashba. Ubitruma nami nasan tam is a kamosh kaz v'sham. Avul b'shar is the gomer kinevelu ki yotzeba and yomer bishol b'mitzas kli tzarek la'agil kala kli d'al yidea bishol m'spashit v'nivla b'kula. So that's called Isura Bala. So Yutaina, what does the Rashba do with the Gemara calling Kachim Hetera Bala? Does he discuss? He goes off on the tangents after that. No, but am I reading it wrong? That's what the Rashba says, no? That's the chiluk between Hetera Bala and Isura Bala.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be saying. Okay. So anyway, so the Rashba seems to be saying that when it's Balea Chatos, that's considered Isura Bala. When it's Balea Trum, it's considered Hetera Bala. And that's the whole chiluk. When it's Hetera Bala, you only need to makshir that part of the kli. When it's Isura Bala, you need to be makshir the whole kli. Whereas the Ra'ah says, nah, it's a chumra by kachim. Anywhere but kachim, you can get away with being makshir part of the kli. So the Taz quotes the Gemara and the Torah Sabayis and the Vedic Abayis. You have the Machlok Shashman Ra'ah. So it turns out that by Hetera Bala, everybody would agree that you only need to kasha the part that came in contact with the food. Right? Everyone would agree to that if it's Hetera Bala, because the Ra'ah slash Ramah says, even by Yisura Bala, you only need to kasha part of it. And the Rashba's Moda, that at least when it's Hetera Bala. So then the Taz goes off on a bit of a tangent about a knife. But then he brings a third shita later on in that Taz. He brings a shita of the tour that even by libun you can kasher partially, meaning within the shita of the Rashba, within the shita of the Ra'ah rather, he was saying that even if you hold it, you can kasher partially. That's only by hagala, because libun destroys on the spot, hagala draws out. Then he puts a shita of the tour that even libun would work to kasher partially. And he says, but it's a shayla and a daraisa, so you need to be machmir like the mechaber to kasha the entire thing, which is a little bit puzzling. If it was shayla and a daraisa, I mean, if it's einu ben yomo, he said it's a shayla and a drabana. So what he means probably is that, yeah, but when it was ben yomo, it was a shayla and a daraisa, so it's a niskalgel, right? It started as a daraisa shayla, then it was niskalgel to a drabana, so you treat it like a shayla and a daraisa. So the Taz says, because it's a Shaila and Daraisa, we have to be Machmir, like the Mechaber against the Ramah, which is also interesting. You have to be Machmir, like the Mechaber against the Ramah, and Kasha the entire Kli always. By the way, as a practical matter, this whole discussion we're about to have, not that relevant, right? Meaning, how often do you kasha and not kasha the entire kli? The only echitim you can think of is that you have like a giant ladle, that because they make them really long, so that it won't like land in the soup, right? So it could stick out. So you just can't fit it in the pot. So a woman goes and, or a man, goes and kashers only the part that goes in the soup, and then calls you an hour later and says, oh, someone told me that I didn't do it right. Do I have to refire up the whole pot and say, you know, do the whole thing again because I messed up and I didn't, but I'm absolutely certain that whatever part touched something trade was already kashered. So that's where this becomes relevant. So can you say that, yeah, that it was good enough? Of course, the chachil, you're always going to put the whole thing in. Who wouldn't put the whole thing in when you're kashering? But in Lamdus, it's a geshmaka discussion over here. The Shach points out that, wait a second, we learned Simen Sadi Dalit already. If you cook chicken soup and you put a benyomo milchik spoon into the chicken soup, right, benyomo milchik spoon into the chicken soup, you only need shishin against the amount of the spoon that you stuck into the soup. Whatever's in your hand, right? You don't need shishim against that. Only what's stuck into the soup. That means that we pass in the Simen Sadi Dalet that we don't say chamik tzasa chamkula. for bleos. Chametz says chum kulo is a mitzius by metal. Metal is a conductor of heat. It's dafyomi today. Taisus and today's daf says that yesterday's daf, but I learned it today because I was a little bit behind. That the Gemara talks about the shovel that they would use to bring the gechalim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be marked with the Ketoros, the Knei Mufnim and Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara has an unusual word. It says the shovel had this thing. What was the word again? I don't remember. It has an unusual word. It describes something. So Rashi says, oh, it means a ring at the end of the shovel that would clank around when the Kohen Gadol would walk around, because he's not wearing a me'il with the bell, so he has to have something else that announces his presence. So that's what it means. Taisa says, no, it means like a leather handle, because he's holding a gold shovel full of boiling hot coals. What are his hands made of? It's impossible. Of course, it's got to be something that protects him. It's got to be a leather handle. So Tos quotes, chametzas cham kula. But over there, he means a metzius, chametzas cham kula. Everyone agrees to metzius. Metal is a conductor of heat. There's no denying the metzius. Question is when it comes to tam. So in Sadi Dalid, we don't say chametzas cham kula when it comes to tam. So it's all tumult over here about chametzas cham kula. It should be possible that you only kasher the part that was stuck into the trefa soup, because that's the only part that was boleya anything. So because of that question, the Shach has a whole very unusual thing that he does. He finds a shita that doesn't seem to be really mentioned in the Beis Yosef or the Tur, a shita of the Maharam Metz. The Maharam Metz is quoted not in the Tur, not in the Beis Yosef, it's quoted in the Bach. And the Shach like latches on to this shita. And the Shita of the Maharam Metz is that Cham Miktsas al Cham Kulo doesn't make Blios travel, but it also doesn't do nothing in Halacha. What it accomplishes is that if I have a spoon that's partially in the soup, the heat is conducted to the point that if Isser were to touch the part of the spoon that's in my hand that's not in the soup, at that moment it would trafe up the entire spoon. Meaning it would trafe up that part of the spoon, even though it may not be hot. If I take cold Isser and I put it on the hot end of a spoon that's in a hot soup, so then that's enough heat to Cham Iktsas or Cham Kulo to create a Bliya. And the Shach therefore says that you really only have to kasher the part of the spoon that went into the soup, because Cham Iktsas or Cham Kulo does not serve as a highway for Bliyas. Or if somebody put a treif hot dog on your grill, let's say, you come home and there's a treif hot dog on your grill, the housekeeper's grilling herself a hot dog. So, and it's only that one hot dog that one time. You check the video cameras or whatever, you see it's only that one hot dog that one time, so you can kasher just that part, or even just use the parts that were never balea without even kashering, because blios are not going to travel through Cham Iktsas or Cham Kulo. It would mean that if you have a treif spoon, you can stir your coffee with the handle of the spoon. Right? Meaning that the blios mamish don't travel. Just turn the spoon upside down and stir the coffee with the handle of the spoon that never touched that was never trafed up. So Pischi Chuvin, Simit Sadi Dalit, Siv Katan Gimel quotes this Shach. But then there's a Magen Avram. And the Magen Avram in Or Chaim says, you know what? The Shach is right that you only need shishim against the part that went into the part of the spoon that was dipped into the soup. But there's another place where we had a discussion similar to this, and that is in Simen Sadi Beis. A tipa of milk or a tipa of treif hits a chicken soup pot on the outside. So we had a whole discussion. If it's keneged arotav, so then you need shishim keneged the tipa, it's as if it went right into the soup, and you need shishim keneged the tipa. And if it's shalom keneged arotav, so then a whole discussion. Shishim times shishim, perhaps, right? We have a whole discussion about how far it spreads. Does it just become bottle because it spreads everywhere, or does it spread to maybe just 59 times itself, and therefore now it's possible chalav of 59 times itself, and then now you need shishim times shishim in order to be mevatel. As a machlokas shach and taz, how we paskin. The assumption is that bleos travel, right? Meaning the tipa hit the outside of the pot. Why don't we just say wherever the tipa hit? So that's where it is. That's where the bliya is. The whole assumption of the discussion is that bliyos are traveling. Right? So how do you say that we don't say chametzas and chamkula? Of course bliyos travel. So Magen Avram says, you know, it's nice that the Shach wants to quote this Maharam Metz, that bliyos don't travel b'chlal, and only he travels, but it's not true la halacha. So Magen Avram says, chametzas and chamkula allows bliyos to travel, but only to go into the kli. Cham Iktsas Cham Kulo is not going to draw Blios outside of the Kli. It turns out that the Mechaber works out very nicely, says Magen Avraham. The Blios went Bekulo, so you need to kasher the entire thing. Why? Because if you want to kasher, Chabad says Chamkulo is not going to be enough. It's not going to draw out all of those Blios. And says Magen Avraham, unlike the Shach, the Ramah is not arguing on the Mechaber. What the Ramah means is that if I stick a spoon in a tray for soup, the Blio will go into the entire spoon. So I can't kasher just part. But if I only plan to, but the Ramah said, but if I know for sure that it only was, you know, the shtamshus of the spoon was only on part of it, then I don't need to kasher the whole thing. No, what the Ramah means by that is if I only plan to use part of the spoon, I can kasher just that part, even though there are treif of blios that remain in the spoon. Because there are treif of blios that remain in a part that I'm not going to use. And you can't get those blios out by just sticking the what do you call the tip of the round part of the spoon? By sticking the spoon into the spoon. It's not going to get those blios out. Right? Meaning, the blios are there. They're in the handle. Because blios go in through chamaktas or chamkulo. But the blios aren't going to come out that way. And because they don't come out that way, it's not good enough for kashering. And that's what the Mechaber said. It's not good enough for kashering. But it also means that if you don't plan on using that part of the spoon, you don't need kashering. And that's what Ramah is saying, that you don't need kashering. So according to Magen Avraham, everybody agrees that it goes in Chama Ksas and Chama Kula, but comes out only through the part that's actually dipped. Well, again, truth is, it's easy enough to kasher the entire thing, so it makes this discussion largely irrelevant. However, sometimes there's a large ladle, and they already only kashered part of it that fit into the pot, so then you need the discussion. Generally speaking, we'd always be machmir. Now, that's just the different understandings of the you know, of the poskim in terms of what's going on over here. Now, in Sivvav, we pass me after the kashr the entire pot. There's a discussion, what about if you have a clean that has a hinge on it, that connects two separate kelim? So we spoke about yodos hakelim, right? Because that came up earlier in Shulchan Aruch already. I think we spoke about it, right? Did we speak about yodos again? Yeah, so what if it's not a yad of the clean? It's not a handle, but there's like a hinge. Let's say you have like, sometimes you have like a kettle that, you know, you can, it has like a top that like goes on the hinge on and off. So is that two separate kelim, or is that one kli? Or the yeshivisha thing, right? If you mix your glasses, so you know, use your glasses to mix the coffee, so the right one is for the milchig and the left one is for fleishig, right? But they're connected all to each other through the hinge. So there's a sefer like that came out, like a dira life or something like that, right? So halachos of a dira. It's basically living like an animal for a Jew. It's pretty disgusting. But so there's a shaila about something that's connected by a hinge. Do you assume that the blia travels through the hinge? So generally, we assume blias travel within one kli. If it's one kli, then they'll travel even 100 miles, right? That's the that's what we're assuming over here. That's what the Mechaber seems to be assuming. And that's even the Magen Avraham says the Ramah is assuming that way also, that the blias will travel. But ein bliya yotzei mikli l'kli bli rotav. That it's only going to go from one kli to another if there's rotav. Otherwise, you know, you have a piece of aluminum foil. It's an amazing thing. You have a piece of aluminum foil. You roll out the whole roll of aluminum foil, and you put a hot steak on one end of the piece of aluminum foil. So we assume that the blios go all the way to the other end. But if you have a second piece of aluminum foil right under the first piece of aluminum foil, and there's a hot steak on the top piece of aluminum foil, nothing happens to the one that's on the bottom, right? Because a bliya does not go mikli l'kli without rota. It's just an amazing thing. So how do you define one kli versus two kelim? So in Or Chaim, in Tafnun Beis, Sifir Aleph, it says that if you have to kasher a handle, that it says that you have to kasher a handle together with a kli. So it's obviously talking about a handle that's a separate piece and is attached. I mean, it's not like just shaped that way. It's a separate piece that's screwed onto the kli. And Taz explains that when two things are connected, you always have to be choshesh. Why do you have to kasher the handle? The Taz over there explains, because when two things are connected, you always have to be choshesh that something spritz from one kli to the other. That a little, whatever blios got on the kli, if the kli became treif, you always have to assume it got on the handle also. When you treifed up the pot, some of that tarfus must have sprayed onto the handle. Others say that no, it's midin chamek tzasul cham kulo. But the Taz says that's not true. It's not midin chametzos or chamkulo. It's a separate unit. It's attached on, so it's two separate kelim. Right? It's only because of the chashash that something spritzed. My nafkamina, whether it's chametz or cham kulo, or whether it's because of a chashash, what if the handle is plastic? Right? A lot of times they won't make the handle out of metal because it's going to be too hot. Right? So if it's midin chametz or cham kulo, then a plastic handle is not a problem because it's not chametz or cham kulo. But if it's midin chashash, that something spritzed, then when you traped up the pot, something sprayed onto the handle also, so then yeah, then you have to be choshesh. So a lot of the Achorim seem to accept the Taz. There's a Chuvas Marsham in Chela Gimel, Simon Kufi Beis, a Chuvas Marsham about a Kli that has like legs to it, has three legs. And he says that our practice is to kasha the entire thing. And he's talking about metal, and there's reason that it seems to assume Chamak Saso Chamakula. So that's one Indian over here. If you have a Kli with a hinge, so that seems to be very similar to a Kli with a handle, and it all goes back to how you understand why we kasher the handle. So if you understand, but either way, l'chora, you would have to kasher the part that's hinged on, so long as it's metal. If it's plastic, it would chap a nafkamina, right? So a hinged Kli is not dissimilar to a Kli with a handle. Yeah.
Is this machlokas assuming that time kicker is like a din and not an asias? Like, even if you were to classify a Kli with a hinge as two different kalim, but like either the bleels travel through the hinge or they don't. Like what?
Right. So it's like a machlokas and asias. I mean, yeah. Is that really what's going on every night? It sounds like it's a machlokas and asias. It doesn't. You know, meaning every machlokas and asias is a machlokas and halacha. They travel somewhere. Is it enough of a traveling to halachically be considered that they travel to the? That's the way you tie up every machlokas and asias. There's another Indian that's somewhat related to this. Before we move on, there are kalim that are polished with high speed brushes that give it a shiny look. You know, you buy Farberware pots and they look shiny. So if you go dig for a day, you're not going to find any pots that look so shiny, right? That's a little pottery, but you know, you're not going to find anything in natural materials that look that shiny. So during the polishing, the clay gets kind of hot. And they use some sort of fatty substance as a shining agent between the brush and the pot. Someone actually just texted me this morning, do you have to kasher a grill brush? It's got metal bristles on it. Do you have to kasher it? So I said, how did it become treif? what were you doing with the grill? He said, no, I meant toivo. Oh, okay, so it's not a shayla. I got excited for a second, and maybe we had an exciting shayla, you know, because, yeah, okay, whatever. So over here you have these bristles that's also part of answering shayla, just getting, you know, when the person doesn't know what they're asking, to make sure that you know that what the shayla is. But during the polishing, it gets hot, and they use a fatty substance as like a shining agent. So in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of people that will kasher any new aluminum pots that they buy because they're choshesh that it's treifa animal fat that's used as a buffer and reaches Yad Saledas during the polishing. And because of that, it's going to treif up the pot. So and I assume it's not nifsal me'achila, I guess, because otherwise it would be kasher anyway. So I get it, or it's not nosen tam v'kam, whatever. So the shayla is whether heat of friction affects bleels. Meaning, everything we discuss, there are three possibilities. You could say, oh, that's a hagala kind of case. Just like heat with water generates a requirement for hagala. So that's also hagala. Or you could say, no, there's no water. And therefore, it's heat without water, just heat. That's libun. That's like barbecuing. So it should require libun. Or you could say, no, Hagala and Libun have one thing in common, that there's a fire somewhere. Over here it's just friction, there's no fire anywhere. So the fact that there's heat means that it's not anything. So all three of those are reasonable possibilities. So Rav Tzvi Yosef Frank is a tshuva in Yerdeh Simon Kuf Yud, where he tries to bring rayos as to whether bleos can transfer when you have a heat that has no fire, when you have heat that's just through friction. And he comes up with unusual cases to bring rayos from. You know, obviously, you've got to be a big Talmud Chacham. He draws from places that you would not think to draw from. You know, you, where would you look? You'd look in Basul Chalav, you'd look in Tarovis, you'd look in Hechsher Kalim. Maybe you want to be creative, you look in Hechsher Shabbos. I don't know, you look in such places. So, Rav Tzvi Yosef Frank points out, Halach in Hechsher Shechita. The Halach is that the base of Shechita is Roteach. That the Beis HaShechita is considered to be boiling, right? It's considered to be Yad Soledes, so whatever, Roteach. So when you shecht a treif animal, you shecht an animal, then you found there was a hole in the lungs. It happens. 10% of animals, let's say, 14% of cows or whatever, you'll find a hole in their lung. So you shechit the knife as treif, right? Because the base of shechit is rotech, so it was it shechted the animal. Heat just transfers the tam from the animal, from the treif animal to the shechit knife. How can the sheikhet then use the knife on kosher animals? So the Gemara explains, because the Beis HaShechita is so tarud in expelling the dam that it can't be baleya. Meaning, ein achinami, the Shechita knife is treif, but that Shechita knife is not going to be able to give its bleels back to any other animals because it's only used for Shechita. But if you were to take that Shechita knife and cut your steak with it, ein achinami, you've got a problem because it already has treifa bleels in it from the treifa animals. Says Rashi Pesach Frank, there's no fire, it's just an animal and a knife, and we're assuming that there are bleos. So you see that bleos can transfer even without fire, and the shechita knife would only require hagala. So halacha and the shechita only require hagala if you want to use it as a steak knife. Memela, you see that whatever, it's only friction, it's only hagala. It's you do need kashering, but only hagala. No, why is that not such a great Ryan? It's liquid. It's hot blood. It's not just dry. Meaning, what distinguishes Hagala from Libun? I accept his Raya that it's not nothing. It's not nothing. Even though there's no fire, when there's heat, it's not nothing. It's going to require some kashering. But I want a Taina. It should be Libun. Because over here, you have dry heat. And dry heat should require Libun. I don't know if that's such a great. That brings another raya, unbelievable, from Chumash. There's a parsha of Tazria Metzora, where we talk about the different types of tzaras. So there's a michva and there's a shchin. How do you translate those words? Michva and a shchin? A burn and a boil. What's a burn, what's a boil? Aren't they both something hot? So what's a burn, what's a boil? So the Mishnah explains that a michva, Mishnah in the Gaim, that a michva is from fire. And it causes discoloration on the skin because you got burnt. Shchin is from some sort of haka'a, that a person was struck, they were hit, and someone came at them with a 2x4 or with a golf club and struck them and it caused a burn. So when you're hit, it's a friction type of boil. And apparently, that's different than a michva. Why do I need to call it a different boil? It's all from, if it all has the status of age, it's all age. So what difference does it make? As long as heat was generated, it should all be the same. Elamai, the fact that the Torah has to create this separate category of a shchin and a michva, you see that heat that's generated by age is different than heat that's generated not from age. That's how the category proves it. So it turned out that friction is not like fire. So whereas by fire you need libel, and by friction you're only going to need hagala. Yeah?
Just wondering, when you have a shechita knife, so is the animal dead by the time you pull the knife out? And if not, then does that tell you anything about whether they're bleos by a live animal?
Right, we discussed bleos from can you mix the soup with your finger? Is the animal halachically dead? It's definitely not dead, right? Meaning, it doesn't have to be. It could walk around for a little bit until it bleeds out. I don't know. Okay, so that's the Leibedik stuff in Sivva. Now let's take a step back. What if you there's a discussion of the following case. There's this sort of Bal Teshaktzu in the Torah. Pasuk in Parsha Shemini, Al Teshaktzu is Nafshei Sechem. So Gemara Makos Daf Zayin learns that the Isser includes consuming anything that's repulsive, right? It's not just bugs and things like that. You're not supposed to eat gross things. So the Gemara says that that includes drinking water from a container that was used for bloodletting, right, for Akazas Dam. So it's gross to drink water out of a cleaver that's used for Akazas Dam. And so you're not allowed to not go to the bathroom if you need to, very badly. But in order to, so what happens, let's say, if something disgusting goes into your cleaver? Sewage pipe breaks, or you accidentally cook spoiled food. It was kosher food, but it's spoiled food. So we just find that that's an issur of balzer. I mean, up until now, every time we've learned in Yaradei, it's always better, right? Meaning, if it was treif, then it was spoiled. So it's nifsal me'achila, and therefore it's not a kashrus problem. But if it gets to the point that it's balzer shaktsu, so would you then say that it's a new issur called balzer shaktsu, and that's going to treif up the pot also? So you have a pipe burst in your basement, and there's sewage all over the place, and all your Pesach kelim were now bullet, so you need a kasher, your Pesach kelim. It's about the shaktsu. So a little bit of an understanding of about the shaktsu. So first of all, is it Nisus D'oraisa or Nisus D'rabbanan? Even though obviously about the shaktsu is Nisus D'oraisa, it's a possible Torah, the shaktsu is not Shul Seichem, but nevertheless, it could be that it's only an asmachta when it comes to these other inyanim, other than even Shkatsum or Masin. And also, is it subjective or is it objective? Is it whatever grosses me out or whatever is objectively, there's some standard of what's objectively gross? So it comes on the Ritva, the Gemara and Makos over there, and the Ritva writes, Mefurish v'madura kama, Pirush Rabbeinu Meir alevi zalbaze, v'nirim imen v'desir le shezeh iser Torah, aval kol mefarshim zal kos v'shein olami drabanu kras makna bi'alma, ki idach ta'amash nekava. He says, because the Gemara gives another example of Baltashaktu of a mash in the cover, right? Every elementary school kid knows this one halacha. Your teacher has to let me go to the bathroom. It's an isser. I have to go to the bathroom. It's Baltashaktu. So that's only drabban for sure. That's for sure only in asmachta. So he says maybe kol mafarshim understand that all these other Baltashaktu are also only drabban. So it's a machlokas. He quotes such a machlokas. So what about whether it's subjective or objective? So in the sefer. Rabbi Yitzchak Mikorvil, in the Sefer Amud de Gola, he's one of the Bali Atosos, the author of the Smak. So it seems that it's an objective issue. Whatever the Chazal deemed to be gross is usher, even if you personally like it. However, Rabbi Peretz argues and says that the issue is subjective. And if you're not grossed out by a certain food, then it's mutter. Or if you are grossed out by a certain food and everyone likes it, then it's going to be awesome. So it comes along the Beis Yosef at the end of Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, and he quotes the Or Chus Chaim, and he writes as follows: Kishem shemachshir makel mishum bias iser, kach makshir basam bahagala or believe on machmas dover milos. That just like a machshir kli from a bias iser, we're also machshir kli from a dover milos. Kugon meiraglayin. It's an issue of the Torah. Why is it only Nevela and Trefa and Behema Temeya that's going to trefa up Kalim? Al Tashaksa Zav Shoseichem shows up trefa up Kalim. V'chein agu kol Yisrael v'ein lahakel al haminag. That's the minag that we have to keep it. That's what he quotes from the Orchus Chaim. V'ani over. Shaminag hazeh in lo ikr v'gam lo pasha v'einenu al mishav shav v'yosef v'dayim. He says, come on. We don't have such a minhag. It never became popular. And you could just scrape it off really well, clean it really well, which you're going to want to do anyway. And that's good enough. And what's the difference between shifshuf and hadacha? So I heard Rabbi Reisman said, hadacha is the way a man washes dishes, shifshuf is the way a woman washes dishes. So he said he doesn't understand why it takes his wife so long to wash dishes. It takes him 3 seconds. Because they're still gross after they're just washing them. So that's a division of Shifshuf and Hadach. Okay, good get there. What exactly is going on here? How do we understand? So essentially what we have is 3 machlokas. We have a machlokas whether about shaktsu is in this daras and this drabban, machlokas whether it's subjective or objective, and machlokas whether it trips up your cable, right? Whether you need the hagolas cable. So in the Sefer, Divrei Shalom, Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Aleph. I got this Maramakum from Rav Eliada Goldlicht in the Smichat Chaver. And he writes as follows: Ha'ime isu hu beguf ha'davar v'avi ki'ilu ha'davar ba'atzmuso asur k'mo shara ma'achulis ha'sur shabatora. Is it an isur like any other isur? Al Dilma, don't be about some mutter. No, it's mutter. Vlavik Shamachol says Rush to Torah. El Yisu ala Adam. It's not an Yisu in the Chet, so it's an Yisu in the Gav. Da Adam, Asalach, Udom Rabba Asalach. You can't do disgusting things. It's not disgusting. Right? Meaning when you're a little kid and your mother serves you Brussels sprouts and you say, these are gross. What does she tell you? Maybe it's just my mother. You're supposed to say, it is not to my taste. It's not gross. The food is not gross. The food is not a double mashuka to matua. You have a problem with it. Vinir pashut to bezet pligi arachos chayim abeis yosef. It's our lagel loving kli machlos of meus. He says that's the machlok. So you need to kasha. Arachos chayim is really this about shach shavi ba atzmos adaver that it's mamish din in the chepta. But we call machlos sus betora and we shemach is really dvay agala olibut. It's like any others in the Torah. So you need agala olibut. The ma'ishom mishabli asis to be an agala olibut. If the base Yossi sphere, this is about Shaq's love, but the breast was a mutter. Base Yossi votes, no, about the Shaq's was not a din in the item, it's a din in you. El Disrael Adam, Dasul Adam, Lechel Dover, Mausalab. You can't eat something that you find to be gross. Mishamachi sphere, the Sagi, the Yashav Shef, Hate, the Chegab, no love your meals. As long as your wife washes it, so then it's good, then it's not going to be disgusting anymore. Vesulaka Yisura. And that's machlokas whether it's up to you or it's objective that whatever people find disgusting. If you hold it in this in the chefza that there's something wrong with this, it's like all other machlokas of the Torah. So you can't say, oh, but for me it's different because I don't find it disgusting. I think these things are delicious. If Radaraf Sirle, it's about Shakhsalavi, but Klaal Begufadavar, Eli Isruhu, meaning Rav Ravina Peretz, that it's like Klaal Begufadavar, Eli Isruhu ala Adam, that it's, I can't do disgusting things, and therefore if it's not disgusting to me, it's not Asir. Right, so he really puts all three together, and it's one machlok that the is bal tashaksu and is a gaver and is a chetza. That's the whole machlok. Is the disgusting food inherently also like a piece of pork, or is there an isra on you that you're not allowed to eat disgusting food? So we assume in general that isuri daraisa Arisurei Chefza. Whereas Yisurei Drabbanan, generally speaking, we assume, in the Sivus Meshlam Adal, we assume Arisurei Gavra. So if you hold that it's Nisidar Raisa, because the way Rav Shach always likes to explain it, is that only the Ribbono Shel Olam can give something inherent characteristics of Yisur, because Akash Baruch Hu is Borei Olam, so only he can put into the Bria inherent characteristics of Yisur. The Rabbanan can tell you, because there's a mitzvah of Mosasur that you're not allowed to violate what the Rabbanan say, they can tell you, don't do this. But they can't imbue inherent characteristics of Isser into anything. So whenever it's going to be Isser, the Rabbanan is only going to be Isser Gavra. So if you have a behemah tamea, that's an Isser Chetza. But eating kosher meat that looks like behemah tamea might be Maris Hayin, that's an Isser Gavra, it's not an Isser Chetza. So, if you hold that the issue of eating disgusting food is daraisa, so then you can hold it's an issue of chetzes, you're going to have to kasher your pot, and you're going to hold that it's not up to whether you think it's disgusting or not. But if you hold that it's an issue of drabbanan, so you hold that it's only an issue of gavra, so it's totally in the gavra, it's totally on whether you think it's disgusting or not, and it's not, you're not going to have to kasher your pot from it. That's how we suggest. La'alach we pass on the basis here. You don't need to kasher.
Chicken with milk has tamke iker.
Yeah.
Chicken is milk is a din drabanan.
Right.
So
why would you need a kasher?
Yeah.
Din drabanan. Right. So it blows up the whole thing. Kein doraisa. Meaning the chumrah, the drabanan is to treat it like what we call doraisa. Bishlakum. Right, so it's machlokes we showed him with Yikasha. So at least according to that day, it's Shulchan Aruch, the second day. Okay. You're not buying it. Okay. I hear. It's Kishmak to say over anyway. okay. So we already discussed, I'm going a little out of order here, we already discussed how to do libud, we discussed how to do, I think, we discussed how to do agala. What about irui? So we mentioned that to kasher a kli, or a countertop, where liquid spilled, you need to do irui. So irui is just you heat up water, it reaches a boil, and then you pour it all over the kli of the countertop. So Mishra Brura, in Tafim Beis Kat Mechaf, points out, that you need to make sure that the kli or the countertop is completely dry, because if it's wet, then that wetness is going to cool down the water before it's able to affect any, it's able to, to draw out any of the blias. So when you do hagala, the kli doesn't need to be dry, because in any case, the hagala is only valid if the water is on a rolling boil, so it's just going to heat up that water. But when you're doing irui, then you can't have any water there. Mishnah Berurah points out. Mishnah Berurah also points out in Tafnun Aleph Sukkot Mem Aleph that you need to make sure that when pouring the water out of the Kli Rishon, that it's a constant, uninterrupted stream of water. Iroi Shalonif Sakha Kiluach, because otherwise it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same Iroi, and therefore it's not going to be able to kasher. And we discussed if your Kli Rishon is too big and you can't pour the water directly from it. Oh, we didn't discuss. Can you use a ladle to... Well, we sort of discussed earlier, we were discussing Kriyushan Klisheni. Can you use a ladle to catch it? Meaning you have a giant pot of boiling water, so you can scoop some out and then pour it over the countertop. So Mishavur discusses this as well in Tafnun Beis of Katan Chav. Avalo yishav im kli acher mehakadera velaro saleh mahadir. Don't draw out of the pot with another kli and then pour it out. Does that make it Klisheni? In Magil below Evan Malabin, because that's only going to be a cliche unless you use an Evan Malabin. In Losha Shoah, a cliche, Shoah, you might talk to Kedera Shamay Malamaticha, the Kedera Katana, Kedera Katana, Osmukishab, a cliche. Unless you put the ladle in, wait till it comes to a boil, then the Kedera, then the ladle itself becomes a mini cliche, Al Gabea Esh. Then you pull it out, so then you're pouring directly from a cliche. So that's how you do Evelyn. Now, maybe just to run through. That clock is wrong, right? Oh, no, it's right. It was wrong before. So maybe just to run through a few types of materials that come up in terms of kashrut. The Torah talks about metal kelim, right? So we know that metal kelim can be kashrut, right? That's pashut. And I mentioned... The Torah talks about cheres as well. B'chol kli cheres shetvu shabo yishaver. You have to break any kli cheres that you cooked a carbon in has to be broken, because you have to burn all the nosa. So it has nosa flavor absorbed in it. So you got to break it. So Chazal explained that the pottery can't be kasher because it absorbs, but it's not poleh. It's not poleh. So it has the ability to absorb, and also emit some flavor, but you can never really fully get all the flavor out of the kli cheres. So we're always worried that the next time you use that kli, some of that absorbed flavor is going to somehow get into your food. Theoretically, leaven can work, because leaven doesn't have to dry anything out. Leaven can destroy everything on the spot. It burns all the absorbed flavor. But Chazal didn't allow leaven, because pottery is very sensitive to a high flame, and we're worried that you're not going to do a good job of leaven. Pottery is not going to reach a high enough heat level. You're scared to break the pottery, and that's what la halach in Shulchan Aruch in our time is in Tafnun Aleph Sif Aleph. Aval hesek she yasika be'esh eino molem lo l'shum kli cher shen shayim shem chamen afilu shelo al yidei ha'or ela shiru l'tocha rotchin v'afilu mimalem g'cholim d'chashino idil m'chayis alay l'shem ha'paki v'lav l'lav saka ma'alim. Shulchan Aruch says explicit that it's a gzeir midrabanan, that even though libun does work for pottery, you can't do it, because we're choshesh, you're not going to do it right, you're going to be too tentative about exposing the pottery to that kind of heat. Glass is a machlokas. Glass, we already discussed the other day. Machlokas, if it has a din of a kli cheres, because the way it's made is from sand, and therefore should have a din of a kli cheres and cannot be kashered, or do we say that no, it doesn't absorb at all? The reality, metzias, is that glass is smooth and does not absorb, but that's the machlokas. So Shulchan Aruch and Tafnun Aleph, Chavav paskins that klei zuchuchis afilu machnisim l'kiyum v'afilu mishramish ben b'chamin ein tzrichin shum hechsher she'ein abolim l'b'shim k'vi al-masayim. doesn't need any kashri, just rinse it out. But the Rama says, Yesh makrin rom kliz chum sabilu agalu lo ma'ani lu, mechenim in vashni has medina selim. That it should be treated like kli cheres. Even agalu doesn't work in glass because we view it as pottery. So according to Sfardim, you can use the same glass for both meat and milk, obviously not simultaneously, but for meat and milk, and according to the Rama, it would be asr. However, the Zera Emes says that even according to the Rama, you could be makel to use a glass dish for meat and then for milk, and it's based on the fact that in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Ches, he paskins that you can use a glass that Yayin Nesach was stored in. And the Rama doesn't say anything. Meaning the Mechaber says he had Yayin Nesach stored in there for a long, long time, so it's way past the Shir of Kavush, so it should have absorbed into the Kli. And the Mechaber says, fine. You expect the Mechaber to say it's fine, because the Mechaber holds glass Napalea Bechlav. So the Mechaber is Lashitasa. But then the Rama doesn't argue. So it must be that there's some taich as to why the Rama doesn't argue when it comes to the Yayin. So that's what the Zera and his Taina is, that Ramo is only machmir to say that glass has the status of Kli Cheres as a Chumr Duchamit. He only says it by Pesach, so it's only a Chumr Duchamit. So extra machmir, a lot of things by Chamit. But by other Isurim, by Shari Isurim, milk to meat, certainly you don't need to be machmir, you can use glass for both milk and meat. That's how the Zera and his Taina is. Rav Menashe Klein is a Tshuva in the Mishnah Halachos, in Chelek Tes, Simon Kuf Samachas. And he says over here in Kuf Chaval, the Knesset Gadol says that glass, even according to the Rama, for Shari Surim is not going to be a problem. And you get the impression from Daki Chuba that the Munkacher also holds that you can be made of the Kiva, the Kvar Kain, No Galba, Hanach Lem, Lebene Yisrael, Lebene Neviyamein, Bene Neviyamein, Umina Lo Tazu. Wow. So he says, La Halach Lemaisa, that he's willing to be made of by Shari Surim and Glad. Ulamodaya Nitzarach Temi, Hani Kederus Hayom, Shanasu Mimin Zuchuchin, Kigon Hanikra Pyrax, Suchiotzibem, Liminean. Hagam sheomrim sheim zuchuchis mikal makom kivin sheasuyim lebishul ala eish chas v'shalom lahakel ulevashol b'kedei rachas basar v'chal v'afilu b'zeach hazeh v'adom v'pashim. So says Menashe Klein, the Pyrex, that's not glass. What's my raya that it's not glass? You use it in the oven. Who would ever put glass in the oven? So it's regular kli cheres, and therefore chas v'shalom to be made. I told you the Meisen, they asked Moshe Feinstein what the status of Pyrex is. So one time he said it's glass, one time he said it's pottery. Because they asked him what Pyrex is. So he said, what's this Pyrex? So he said, it's Kli Cheres, it's clear. Oh, Kli Cheres, Kli Cheres, can't cash. So they said, someone else asked him, he said, what's pottery? What's Pyrex? So he said, oh, it's glass that can go in the oven. Oh, okay, glass. It's glass. So whatever Pyrex is, I think the Minhag HaPoskim is to assume that Pyrex is glass. I think the Minhag HaPoskim is to assume that Rama meant it, even for Shari Surim. Meaning when it comes to things that go in the oven. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin held that...
Are you saying we're not doing Shari Surim for glass?
I think so. I think that's the Minhag HaPoskim for cooking utensils. Like I said, drinking glasses, everyone's makel, that's always been the Minhag. They never had a Minhag about cooking with glass, because no one ever would have cooked with glass. Meaning they were afraid it would break. So I don't think that you could say that there's such a thing. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin holds that glazed china is not Balea, because it's just like glass, and you assume it's not Balea. Meaning your chumra by Tevilas Kelim is going to be Yotze your kula by Hagolas Kelim. Right? If you hold it, you can be making on glass. Glazed china, he holds, is not Balea. That's a chiddush Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. Rabbi Reisman said that Rav Pam once had a shayla with a newlywed. I think I told this way. I had a shayla with a new kala. Put hot chicken straight on a glazed china milchik serving plate. And the guy came to ask Rav Pam, and they were newly married, and it was an expensive serving plate or whatever. It was a milchik serving plate. So Rav Pam said, you daven better Meshabik. He says, yeah, Dan Bar Meshavik, go ask for Meshavik. Because Rapam knew that Meshavik was Nainakul of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, so he's going to pass on like Rabbi Yaakov Emden. That's what Rabbi Reisman said. They first came to him, they asked for Rabbi Reisman. He said, it's not, there's no way you're going to get a kula over here because it's China. What are you doing? So of course, you're not going to be able to be Meshavik. But you could ask Rapam. And Rapam said, go ask for Meshavik. I don't think he would have sent everybody to Meshavik. I think that was the person's rub anyway. So he sent it to Meshavik. Just one second. In Toplun Aleph Sivchav Gimel, it says that if you have a glazed china, it has a din of cheres. And Mishabrua, Sivchat and Kuflam Zayin, says that even though the Mechaber holds the class is not Balea, but when it's connected to cheres and it's heated onto the cheres through a kivshan, it's Balea more. That even though it's not, even though it's glazed. That sounds like quite a big chiddush, right? You have glass over the cheres, but since it's connected onto the Kli Cheres, so it takes on the status of a Kli Cheres. Today, china dishes, it's not so clear that the glazed china is really glazed. It's like a paint on shellac or something. It's not so clear that that's actually a thing of glass anyway. I'm not sure that you have Rabbi Yaakov Emden anyway. Right?
Can Rabbi talk about why
this
Talmud is a Kula?
Yeah, meaning if you hold that it really is fundamentally a Kli Cheres, right? Because you could ignore the glaze. The glaze is nothing. So it's fundamentally Kli Cheres, and you don't need to do Tefillas Kelim.
It's fundamentally, it's not that we're ignoring the glaze, it's just we'll define this Kli as a Kli Cheres.
Right, meaning you could logically, right, you could logically say that it has the din of a Kli Cheres, and it's still not Balea. Because nothing can get through, nothing can penetrate the glaze. Right. Mishmur says not that way, the things do penetrate, meaning that when it's built onto a Kli Cheres, it penetrates the glaze, and probably that's because it's part of the Kli Cheres, meaning it takes on the status of the Kli Cheres. We have a minute to talk about, give me three. So plastic, porcelain, other things to talk about. We'll do plastic. When it comes to Kashmir plastic, Machlokas, Mamim De Poskim, Ramayshin, or Chaim Chel, we discussed a little bit. Or Chaim Chel, based on Sadi Beis, says you can't kasher rubber. That's made out of chemical components, as opposed to rubber made out of wood that can be kashered, because it's a new material. It was not around in times of Chazal, and that means plastic also. However, in Sitzal Yezuchel Dalit Siman Vav, he allows kashering plastic because we say Kabbalah Kachvoto. We also point out that it's a steer in Ramayshan, right? We discussed plastic right a little bit. Chazal don't allow libum and pottery because you're worried that you're not going to want to expose it to that kind of heat and you're never going to do proper libum. So, right, we mentioned Tafresh, Taf Nun Aleph, rather, Sif Aleph. Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul writes in his Tshuvas that Kli plastic, Efshar Lachshir, Lepesach, Liagilim, Kli Vishon, Ulanim, Him Kelim, Shalul, Neskalka, Lahagala, Ein, Lahagilam, Yatzim, Lachar, Pesach. Meaning, what he suggests is that although Chazal never made a gezeira, not to kasher plastic, they would have if it's a sensitive plastic. So he says, we can't make our own gezeiros, but use your head. If it's a kind of plastic that is likely, that you would, that anyone looking at you putting it in boiling water would say, are you crazy? What are you doing? You're going to ruin it. Then probably you shouldn't kasher it, because you should be choshish for yourself that you're not going to kasher it properly. But if it's a kind of plastic that's such a heavy-duty plastic that it doesn't look problematic at all, you know, you have these rubber oven things that go in the oven. So you have those silicone, right, the oven. So, you know, you're not concerned about that at all. I stick those in the boiling water. That's what I wear when I kasher kelim. That's what everyone wears when they kasher kelim, right? Those big silicone oven mitts. So no one's going to say, oh, how could you stick that in boiling water? So the Tzion Abishol says that we're not going to make our own gzeira. But the time of the gzeira should resonate with us if it's something that you're actually going to be nervous about. Porcelain, really, almost everybody says is Kli Cheres and can't be kashered. Maybe next time we'll discuss the potential kula with the Chacham Tzvi and the Meishim, and we'll go from there. Okay, we have at least one more sharing. I got probably just one more. But, okay, so that's Shem on Sunday, not Monday, right? Sunday night, and then we'll break for Chazara after we finish Hagala, right? So that will be the plan. Okay, have a great day, everyone.